He's revealing who he is. I'm going to pray now that he does that now. He will reveal himself to us through his word, by his spirit. So shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we long to know you. And we do thank you that you are a God who has revealed himself, that you, the creator of the heavens, that you became a man. And we thank you that now, by your spirit, you will speak to us through your word, the Bible. So we pray that you will help us, pray that you would open our eyes, pray that you would soften our hearts, so that we would know you and live for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine that you're walking through the woods. I don't know if you do that. I do that. Walk through some woods. And you're making your way along the path. And out of the corner of your eye, you notice it. I'm not sure what it is. You move down the path. A little bit closer. And there's definitely something there, but you're not sure what it is. And going a little bit closer, you see that something is hidden beneath a collection of leaves. So you bend down and you pick it up. And you've never seen anything like it before. You don't know what it is. But you take a closer look and there are some strange markings on it. You've no idea what it is, but it's beautiful. You have a bit of a closer look and you start to see that things are moving. And then you put it to your ear and you hear this sound. It's beautiful. You don't know what it is. You don't know where it came from. You don't know how it came to be. But one thing you do know is this. It couldn't have happened by chance. Could something so intricate, could something so beautiful, could something so complex, something like a watch, just happen all on its own? So consider the watch. I'm going to put it back on. And we look at the design of a watch, and we look at the design of a building, we look at the design of a painting, and we know instantly that there is a mind behind it. And not only that, but the design is saying something. It's saying something about the designer. The workmanship is saying something about the worker. Now, I did GCSE resistant materials. I don't know why, but I did. And at the end of the year, the classroom was filled with people's work. You worked on one project, got to the end of the year, finished the project, and then they displayed the work to the whole school. And I didn't go. Well, I think I might have done, but I can't remember. I think I wiped it from my memory. But you walk into the classroom, and there were these wardrobes. Amazing wardrobes. There were these chairs, cabinets, and then you move a bit further down. I think they went in order of the grade that you got, from A all the way down. And you got to the end table, and there was my little wonderful pencil pot. It didn't look like a pencil pot, but it was a pencil pot. And the point being, the workmanship says something, doesn't it, about the worker. The workmanship says something. The excellence of the work, whether a watch or a wardrobe, says something about the person who is the author of it. Consider the wisdom, consider the skill that went into creating such things. Consider the watch, and if the PowerPoint is working, consider this. And
As we look around us in the world, there is beauty. There is order. And we can imagine David, before he wrote this psalm, his mind filled with awe, his mind filled with wonder, as he looked at the stars, as he woke to the rising sun, as he slept beneath the night sky. David was inspired to write Psalm 19. And Psalm 19 is about two revelations. It's about God revealing himself. And he reveals himself in two different ways. If we look at the next slide, God reveals himself in his creation. God reveals himself in his word. And we're going to look at that and then our response. Those two things. So revelation number one, God reveals himself in his creation. Let's look at the passage. Verses 1 to 6. We can have that up on the screen. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. Notice the words that we see, verses 1 and onwards. We see words that speak of communicating. Did you see those? Declare, verse 1. Proclaim, pour forth speech. Literally, the Hebrew, gush forth speech. What is creation doing? Everything in the universe, everything in the unknown universe, everything we see, everything we don't see, it's all pointing and it's all declaring God is glorious. The heavens are telling us that God is there. And what are they saying? He is a God of glory. And glory is a strange word. I've tried to work this out. What does glory mean? It's a difficult word to understand, but glory is God, basically, God is the one who is best. I think that's a good definition. God is the one who is the best. He is the one who is great. He is the one who is most satisfying. He is the one who is most amazing. And glory is not something new to God. He has always been a God of glory. He's always been the best, and the heavens know it, and the heavens and the creation are declaring his glory. They're shouting, it's as though they're shouting, they're saying, God is the best. He is. He really, really, really is. And I think we can think of it like this. It's as though everything in creation is a signpost. It's a signpost, and it's saying, look, God, he's over there. It's a signpost pointing out to God. The trouble is, we often stop at the signpost. And we give glory to the signpost instead of giving glory to God. See, our hearts, we are seeking glory. You and I, we are glory seekers. We were made for God. And our hearts are going to be restless until we find rest with God. And we look to the signpost, the person, the relationship, the money, the possessions, the career. All good things, but things that were never meant to satisfy that deepest longing of our hearts. Because our hearts were designed for something so much better. And God is shouting at us. He's saying to us through creation, He's saying, I am glorious. He said, everything, look, is pointing to me. From the microbes to the mountains, this world is encased in glory. And yet you, sinners, separated from me, the holy God, your vision is blurred. You can't see it. And in our short-sightedness, we stop at the creation. And we forget that behind this creation is a creator of immense glory, a creator of immense power. And it's his glory I am to seek. My life is to be lived for the glory of his name. So God is saying in Psalm 19, do you know me? Do you see me? Are you satisfied with me? So creation is speaking, and we see again verse 3, it's not literally speaking. We don't literally hear a sound. The trees, we hear the trees make a sound, but they don't literally shout for my name, John, look at God. They're not literally speaking, but verse 4 tells us that the voice of creation is going out throughout the whole world, not audibly, but there are visible signs of God's handiwork. And so David chooses then, he chooses one part of God's creation, the sun, the ultimate witness to God. Verse 4, in heaven, God has pitched a tent for the sun. Verse 5. Doesn't work. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber like a champion, rejoicing to run its course. He's saying, look at the sun. The sun speaks of this bridegroom. What joy coming out of his chamber. A sprinter running towards the finish line. Just as you cannot avoid the presence of the sun, so you can't avoid this declaration. God is the creator. Do you see him? Do you know him? Give him glory. So number one, God reveals himself in his creation. Then number two, God reveals himself in his word. So verse 7, you see, just as God reveals himself in his creation, just as the natural world is speaking to us, God revealed himself in another way, in a more special way, a more specific way. To David, this would have been the Jewish scriptures, and to us, this is the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, before Jesus and after Jesus. And the point David is making is clear. God is not only telling us he is there. He's telling us how he wants us to live. He is revealing not just himself, but he's revealing his way. If you look, David, in verse 7, begins this section, he says, the law of the Lord. And the word law here, it means all of those written words given to God's people. Words that reveal that how God wants his people to live. Words that reveal the best way to live. But the trouble is, again, like the signpost, we stop and we don't give glory to God. We don't look to him. And instead of rightfully acknowledging God's word, the world turns away and turns to other books for answers, for wisdom, for instruction. And we see that. And I was in the library and I was intrigued. And apparently the self-help industry, if there is an industry, in the US is estimated to be $11 billion. And Paul McKenna, do you know who Paul McKenna is? He has a net worth of £35 million. And we see all these kind of books up there, and they're speaking to us. And they're things like, Learn to Find Inner Peace, Complete Guide to Achieving Peace of Mind and a True Sense of Self-Worth. How to Be Happier, Teach Yourself How to Be Happier. There he is. Paul McKenna, I Can Make You Happy, includes a free hypnosis CD. Make yourself happy. Simple steps, 6 steps to change your life from within. And then soul coaching. 28 days to discover the real you. There are thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of these books out there. And they are saying to us, you want to know how to live? You want to know what to get wisdom? You want to have your soul refreshed? Then go to these books. But David says, no. There's another book. Because if we're honest, we are searching. We want our souls to be refreshed. We are longing for wisdom, for joy. But David says, don't go to those books. He says, the Lord, that's where you need to be. So look at verse 7. The Lord, he says, is perfect, refreshing the soul. You imagine that cup of tea. If you don't like tea, I'm sorry. It's refreshing, isn't it? Times that by a billion. And the perfect cup is refreshing. Well, the Lord is perfect. No error. This is where true refreshment is to be found. The statutes of the Lord, David says, are trustworthy, making wise the simple. You want wisdom, but the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. I don't know Paul McKenna. I've never met him. But I do know this. He didn't create the universe. The Lord, who did, offers real wisdom. His words can be trusted. And then look at verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Now, we all want joy, but God's precepts are right, morally, practically, universally, because He is right. You see, men are crooked. Men can be crooked. Men can be bent in thoughts and intention, but not God. God is right. And His words, David says, can give joy to the heart, true joy. And the commands of the Lord, verse 9, the commands of the Lord are radiant, David says, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. God's word gives light and endures forever. And maybe for you at the moment, you're experiencing maybe huge changes in your life. And you might feel like you're in this whirlwind of uncertainty, but God's word remains the same forever. It's pure, it's sure, hold fast to it. And then verse 10, I love these verses. David says, they are more precious than gold, much pure gold. Not just gold, but much pure gold. Not just honey, but the sweetest of honey, the best honey that there is. Honey from the honeycomb. So God has revealed Himself through His Word. Are you looking for His Word? Are you learning from Him? Are you seeking His way for your life? 2 revelations. And then to end, 1 response, verses 11 to 14. Now David ends his psalm, contemplating. You can imagine, he's just written this psalm. And he's contemplating on God's law, and it floors him. He knows that God's word carries a warning. He knows that in keeping them, there is great reward. Yet he is left staggered and exposed, and his shortcomings to measure up to the perfect law of the Lord, his awareness of his errors, his failures to keep God's righteous laws, causes him to cry out for forgiveness, to cry out in prayer. And he says this, by then, he says, who can discern their own errors? Verse 12, forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. And surely this should be our response too, aware of our hidden faults, our willful sins. Like David, let us pray. Let's pray for forgiveness, that God would keep us from willful sins, that they would not rule over us. But on our own, this would be impossible, but the good news of the gospel is this, that the one whose hands created the heavens, the one whose mind is behind all creation, became a man. And the God-man, Jesus Christ, he came and he kept God's perfect law. He lived it. He is the blameless one, the one innocent from all transgressions. And yet on the cross, Jesus took our sins upon himself. He took all our shame, he took our faults, our willful sins, and he gave us his righteousness. He put on us his innocence, that we would be able to stand blameless before God the Father. And no forgiveness. So one response, have you come to know this forgiveness? Like David, will you fall on your knees before the God of glory? God reveals himself in creation. God reveals himself in his word. Let's pray. I'm going to use verse 14 as our prayer, and I invite you to close your eyes. And if you want, do make this your prayer as well. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, we pray that you will be causing us to love your law. And we thank you that you are indeed the God of glory. And we ask that you will help us to live in the light of that glory. Pray that you will be helping us to know those areas of our lives, those willful sins, and that we would know your forgiveness. We thank you that we can because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we bring all this before you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just a couple of notices before the kids come back. Some great news. A few weeks ago we had Becky Bell up here and we prayed for her because there were some real worries about her pregnancy a few months ago that she may not be able to keep the baby. Praise God, they had a baby this week called Hosanna Ruth. It's great news, so do be praying for the Bell family. Josh is here for 2 weeks, is that right? 2 months. So just here for 2 months, there'll be about. So praise the Lord. Hosanna Ruth was born this week. Haven't got a clue how heavy she was, because I'm a boy. What was it?
7 pounds, 1 ounce.
7 pounds, 1 ounce. It's great to have Tessa here with Oscar, and praise God as well. A few weeks ago, we were looking for lots of money for you to go overseas to Ethiopia, and I hear every single penny's coming. Is that correct? So we praise God for that as well. In a minute, Helen, is going to come up and pray. But before that, I want to show you a quick video. We're running a course in October. It's a long, long way away. We're showing you videos now. It's a course that I'm going to be helping to lead, and others here are going to be helping lead on the course. It's called Celebrate Recovery. It's for anyone with hurts, habits, or hang-ups. We're advertising it now because it's at like an 8 to 10 month weekly commitment. Obviously, in our weekly lives, we skip things and miss things. That's just normal life. But it is a big commitment we're asking for. But it is a course that people have been really helped on. So we're just going to watch a short video about that. Thank you. it's a course that will be running from October. Now, one of the best things about being a Christian is you can be yourself. And ourselves is we're broken, we're sinful, we're messy. And personally, I've found it very helpful to be open and honest with people about myself, what I'm really like. And I found real love and forgiveness from God and from church family. And this course, change takes a long time, we know that. We'll be striving to change till we die. And then in heaven, God will wonderfully recreate us and help us. But this course, the idea is to spend a long time looking at God's word, looking at what John was saying, and really using God's word as medicine to our souls. So do come along, do think about it. Hazel's done it a couple of times, and Hazel would love to talk to people, but do talk to me as well about wanting to come along. I'm going to hand over to Helen and Dan now, and they're going to pray.
Has anyone got anything to pray for?
I'm going to an assessment about a new talk therapy on Tuesday, and